2 Corinthians 5 from verse 1. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. We turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 from verse 7. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low, they're afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver coil is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it.
Congregation, as some of you may be aware, there are all sorts of reality TV programs nowadays. And one of the things that sort of strikes me are the reality TV programs that focus on our bodies and how we can stay young. There was a program not so long ago called Nick and Tuck. Well, that's self-explanatory. Now you've got another one that's called Botched. So there are these couple of surgeons that look at people and say, yes, we can fix that, and we can fix that. And usually the people that are involved pay megabucks for it. And usually it's young, lovely, in my understanding and in my view, quite lovely looking young ladies. There are some guys, but most of them are female. When an extra crease appears on their foreheads, or they have some crow feet appearing, whatever that is, they want to do something. They want to get rid of it. They want to make it vanish so that they can look young again. And if it's not fixed, life for them is not worth living. For some, to stay looking young is everything. It's even hard that they could imagine or that someone could suggest that they might grow old. In fact, given the choice, some would even rather die first. Well, if you're struggling with this, allow the writer of our text this evening to help you. The writer teaches us to celebrate the joys of life at any age while being honest about the troubles that come with growing old. I said to someone recently that when I wake up in the morning and if I don't have an ache or a pain, I'm really happy. So I'm quite happy when I have an ache and a pain because it reminds me that I'm still alive. Now, the preacher here, the writer, his first call is to rejoice in the goodness of life. Doesn't matter how many years you've been given. Rejoice in them. Enjoy them. And I suggest it's especially true for elderly people. And many things in life, even while living under the sun, are sweet. The taste of a good meal. A lovely glass of wine. I play golf regularly. And it's even sweet when I can master the number one driver and hit the sweet spot with my golf ball. It's pleasing to the eye to see a beautiful sunrise or sunset. To see a beautiful rainbow against some dark clouds. The beauty of a rainforest and all the animals that are in it. The deep blue sea with the wide variety of fish that swim in it. The beauty of new birth, as we saw this morning. Of children. Grandchildren. Even when we can only see them on Skype. Life is generally sweet. One elderly lady I spoke to who was on her deathbed dying of breast cancer said to me, even though she was 88 years old, said to me, John, life is sweet. I love life. Even though she was a Christian. It's true. Life is sweet for most of us. And if we are Christians, life even gets better above the sun. For most people, long life is a blessing from God, a blessing to serve Him, or even an opportunity to repent and believe if they don't believe. Yet even as we rejoice in the many years, the preacher never lets us forget that the days of darkness will be many. Sooner or later we will suffer loss, disappointment, injustice and grief. All that comes to us who live under the sun, who live in this sin-filled world, we can't avoid it. In fact, there will be times when we think that life is meaningless. Sometimes we can be so disillusioned about life and all the rubbish that happens. Murder and rape and stealing and corruption and abortion and euthanasia and so many other things. Sometimes we just like to withdraw and say, well, this is not the world that I remember. One day we can be full of joy and the next day we can be down in the pits. So the preacher is telling us to enjoy the gift of life for as long as we can. And we live it to the glory of God. Sometimes I'm even too frightened to ask some people how their day or week has been, because I know that I'm going to have to endure this whole litany of how bad things have been, not just for a day, but for the last year. I haven't got time to listen to, well, I have, but perhaps we should say what the psalmist says in Psalm 118. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. I think that's a far more profitable and positive way to greet each new day. The preacher's second call here is for young people to be happy and to enjoy the many blessings in life. Verse 9, your bodies are strong. You have few cares. The future is full of possibilities. By all means, follow your heart. Enjoy life. But be careful and remember that you are also living under the microscope of a holy God. Consider carefully the consequences of your words and actions. See, the writer knows that the young people also face many temptations in this world, and that they have to answer to God for everything that they have done. And the wise way to live under the sun is to remember that the God above the sun is going to call you into judgment one day. That day may seem like a long way off when you're young, but it may well be closer than what you think. How we spend our money and what we do with our bodies matters. How we use our time, what we decide about our future, our careers, how we handle our relationships matters. What we touch, what we taste, what we inhale matters. What we watch matters. Everything we do matters for eternity. By all means, if you're young, enjoy life, but not in a sinful way. Celebrate the gift of your youth, but at the same time remember the judgment to come. The third thing the preacher gives us is a call to banish anxiety from our hearts, to cast off troubles, for youth and vigour are meaningless. Verse 10. And anxiety is any problem that causes us to worry or be concerned. Well, someone always used to say to me, Zudi, you're not allowed to worry. It's not Christian to worry. Well, it's probably true. But I concern a lot, if I can put it that way. And there's a little point in listing examples, for anxiety and concerns are different for every one of us. Sometimes it's from an illness or a disability or an accident or a brokenness in a family. We all have concerns and anxieties. Again, the preacher is brutally honest with our experience of life, both physically and psychologically. And so his advice is that we should do what we can to banish discouragement from our souls. Rather than dwelling on all the things that are going wrong, we should seek the care of Christian friends who are able to see our situation for what it is and tell us what we need to hear, especially from the Scriptures. Perhaps the very best remedy is to take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, sometimes it's just good to relax and say, let's just pray about this. Paul in Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7 reminds us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then he adds the promise, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So good to have that peace in our lives. Likewise, if our sufferings are of a physical nature, it's right and good for us to seek a way to ease the pain and anxiety it may cause. But we need to do so in a way that honours our God. One of the reasons why the preacher tells us to remove anxiety and troubles is because he knows we cannot stay young forever. Youth and vigour are meaningless. Doesn't mean that youth is meaningless, for he's already told us to enjoy our life and our youth. What he means is that youth is elusive and passing. I still remember, at least I think I remember, when I was 25, and I thought, wow, 60 is a long way off. I still remember when I was 30, and I thought, 60 is a long way off. I still remember when I was 35, I'm 60. Life goes so quickly, and all the years are gone. One day we are young and strong, but almost before we know it, days are gone and we are growing old. The preacher advises us to live free from care as long as we can. I think the preacher is being real about life. Its limitations. There is a time to be young and strong, and as long as we are in that season of life, we should celebrate its blessings. But we should also need to pray for the blessing that as we grow older, that we may grow in grace and wisdom. The preacher's last instruction in verse 12, one following, is a call for us to remember. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I have no pleasure in Him. The preacher is calling on us to have a God-centered thinking about life. Or if you want to put it in a New Testament context, a Christ-centered thinking about life. We need to make God, who made the universe, our first and highest priority. We do so in our youth and in our older years because every day is a gift from our Creator God. We acknowledge that. Therefore, we need to include Him in our plans, our career choices, who we marry, what we're going to do in life, how we're going to serve the King of Kings in life. And praying to Him through all our troubles in life. Remembering to ask Him for help and not to depend on our own self-sufficiency. And the best time to do this in life is when we are still young enough to have zeal to do also the Lord's work. Don't wait until you're so old that life has lost its pleasure and you have no desires anymore. That is not pleasing to the Lord at all. The preacher here gives us one of the most memorable poems in the Bible. It also happens to be the most beautiful poem ever written. It's about the reality of our mortality, about growing old. Let me just paraphrase it this evening. Before the light of life grows dim and your physical and mental powers decrease, remember your Creator. Before dementia sets in, remember your Creator. Before we need cataracts removed and glasses to see, remember your Creator. Before we start to walk with a stoop, or we need dentures, remember your Creator. When voices become softer and hearing aids become essential, remember your Creator. Before we have any hair we have left that is grey and not altogether white, remember your Creator. Before friends become fewer and fewer, and we attend more and more funerals, even our own, remember your Creator. The preacher is being realistic about life, growing old. We will not live forever. Today we are young and strong, but already we are getting older, and tomorrow the mourners will carry our bodies out for burial and our spirit will return to its maker. Death is like the snapping of a silver cord and the shattering of a golden bowl. Both have become useless. We return to the dust, and we have to deal with the curse that God pronounced on Adam and on all our sin too. We too are made of dust, and to dust we shall return. One day our bodies will go into the ground and our souls will return to their maker, as death separates body from soul until resurrection day. It's the reality of life. Everyone has to face these realities in a fallen world. And the preacher's call to us is, remember. Remember your Creator before these things happen. When you really think about it, it's a call to missions, isn't it? To remind people who is their Creator and what God has done for them in Jesus Christ to save them. We need to appeal to people. Remember your Creator. He breathed life into you. Remember what He has done for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's part of living wisely. Charles Bridges once said, "Many have remembered too late, none too soon." I guess taken by itself, this poem is not all that encouraging. Growing old and facing death are some of the hardest experiences in life. Yet I put it to you that there's some genuine encouragement here for all saints. These are some of the beautiful words that have ever been breathed. The Holy Spirit took special pains to treat aging and dying with dignity. In Psalm 116 verse 15 it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Here we go again. Missions. Reaching out to people. But it's not only the death of His saints that is precious to God. They are precious to Him throughout the whole process of aging because of Christ. Be encouraged, for your Creator remembers you. Even when you don't remember Him. The security of our salvation does not depend on our remembrance of God, but on the promise that He will remember us. The psalmist in Psalm 71 writes, "When I am old, even when I am old and grey, you do not forsake me, O God." He holds us. John 10, 28 to 30. Jesus is holding us. The Father is holding us. I spoke about it at Catechism the other night. A double whammy. So I've known people who have struggled with losing their memory. "I can't remember who I am. What I am doing," they say. "Everything is..." And their loving spouse will calmly say, "That's okay, dear. I know who you are and what you are doing. I put it to you, there is more security for every believer in the remembrance of God." The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." The great thing is that God remembers us now and will remember us all our days. Jesus said, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Praise God. All of a sudden, growing old is not so bad, is it? We're getting closer and closer to the day of eternity. The Apostle Paul, perhaps better than any of us, understood that one day the old house of our earthly body will be destroyed. But he also believed that our bodies would be rebuilt. 2 Corinthians 5:1, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." If you ever have to read a passage of Scripture to someone who is dying, here it is. Here it is. It's not that bad growing old. Maybe always not nice being old, but it's not that bad growing old. See, this new house is the resurrection body of everyone who believes in Jesus, his cross and his empty tomb. Young people, middle-aged people, elderly people, may we remember our God and what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. That's reason for praise. Tomorrow morning when you get up, may you be able to say, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Amen.